Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
No, it's okay.
It's just a wanton waste of sellotape, if you ask me.
Yes.
Three points on the board, four games to go. When our next two games were champions, that's this week on 20 Minute Tims. Stephen Melly, it all sounds so straightforward and simple when you put it like that.
It certainly does.
But after watching the 90 minutes that unfolded against Dundee, I was reminded ever so slightly that it's not quite as going to be as straightforward as that, is it?
Another slightly nervy one, wasn't it? Another unnecessarily nervy one. And look, we keep saying it, the reality is this. Sometimes it really do be like that in this title race. All the times it really do be like that, quite frankly. We have come to accept the fact that it's just, this is going to be how it works. We're going to fight tooth and nail, tooth and claw, all of those parts that you fight with. We're going to fight for this title, but it's not going to be pretty at times. And that was yet another example of it.
No, it wasn't pretty at all, was it? The second half, again, it's that half and half. But even the first half wasn't great in Celtic. Look, they come out with the 3 points. That's all that matters at this stage. But again, the performance, you have to ask questions over it, don't you?
You do, because I'm looking to say, look, Brendan Rodgers is all about the psychology at the moment of everything. I think that's what he's doing. Every time he opens his mouth, every bit of patter, every press conference, every media interview, every club TV statement, YouTube, whatever he's in front of, I think all he's doing... Body language. Wow, if you weren't on Twitter over the weekend, you missed out. If you weren't on X over the weekend, you absolutely missed out.
What a weekend it was. Go and check out our account for some great activity.
Not even going to bore people that weren't yet. Look, see if you weren't there, you missed it, okay?
Yeah.
You missed it. Everything that Brendan does is all geared towards, I think, managing the sort of psychology of the squad. But for me, I'm watching that performance, I'm thinking, do you know what would be a real psychological boost? Go and bar Dundee.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Absolutely go and pump them, because Rangers played and they didn't play well. I watched the Rangers game against Dundee. They're on the bus home. Demoralise them. Have yourself 3-4-0 up. Now, I know, obviously, Celtic were trying to do that.
Yeah.
It's not that straightforward.
Should have thought of that, yeah.
Have yourself 4-0 up by the time Rangers get back to Ibrox and get in their cars and go up the road. They're absolutely miserable, but... I just didn't get that from Celtic, and I was just startly reminded, Stephen, that there is no clicking. There is there's no suddenly going to become world beaters again. Brendan Rodgers has got to play with these players and squeeze as much juice out of a couple of lemons as he can to get anything out of this Celtic squad. But I was, honestly, I can't even pretend I was best pleased with the way he played. Some of the play was crap, man. It reminded me of some of the stuff that we saw earlier in the season, and I was sorely disappointed.
I think, look, there's multiple things at play here. Rather, yes, it is true that 3 points is the most important thing. Sometimes, ultimately, the only important thing, really, when you're looking back on it. But you have to take that performance and look forward with it, and you think, we've still got four games of this to go. you want to be able to take some confidence from performances and going out and battering Dundee after all the talk or the stuff they've been through over the last couple of weeks, slagging their pitch and going out and taking points off Rangers. You want to just go out and batter them. And see, to be honest, like, for the first bit of the first half, it seemed like that might happen again. Like, Coon had a couple of good chances. Tame efforts when you look at it in the knowledge that it was 2-1. But at the time, it felt like, right, he's getting a couple of decent efforts there. He hit them both kind of at the keeper. But it must have been a chilling reminder to Dundee of what happened the last time the two teams played. They just blew them off the park in the first half. That just didn't happen. But when it comes to either 3 points is the most important thing. Of course it is. But we as fans, it doesn't include the team or the manager because they're behind the scenes probably full of confidence and know exactly what they're doing. They've been here and done it. As fans, we want to be able to watch these games and think, easy, next please. But we're left ruined. And the chance that Dundee had towards the end, that header that just went wide, it was just... tense stuff.
I think the Aberdeen served as a warning, and again, you think going into this game, look, go and put in the performance this week, make us feel a bit better, but it's probably not going to come, is it? Celtic might have the odd game in the last couple that they play well in, but I think it's just going to be like this, and we have to just have to get on board. I don't know.
I suppose the problem is it's easy for us to sit here, dead easy, to sit in there or sit at the game and just go be better.
Yeah.
But actually putting your finger on what you want Celtic to do better is a lot harder. But for me, I'd start with stop passing the ball to people's waists.
Oh, yeah,
do you
yeah.
know what I mean? Stop kicking it out of play at throw-ins. You know, all these little things that you think to yourself, some of them are not deliberate. The players are obviously not deliberately trying to play head tennis for what felt like 15 minutes in the centre of the park. But you just think there would be a... I think what I'm disappointed in Melly is you think there would be a change in mentality. Right. We've managed to eke ourselves back on top here. We're in the driving seat. Every pass needs to be crisp. Every throw-in needs to be treated valuably. We just need to do all the things right everywhere across the pitch to get through these games. But for me, I'm still seeing some of the slackness.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was. Alan Thompson was said to have said it to when he was coaching at Celtic, but he said to them, it's a ball, not a bomb. And it felt like that on Sunday there. It was just the ball was up in the air and it was, or somebody else go and get it. Or there's so many like sliced clearances and stuff like that that just put Celtic under pressure needlessly. I think Dundee are a decent team.
Yeah.
Better than most of the teams we come up against in the way they play and all that. But most of the times they get chances was by Celtic doing something stupid. Mm. So I think if Celtic could have just kept the ball simple and do what we're meant to do, keep the ball on the deck and play it to our own players, I think that would have been a great start a lot of the time. But there was points in the first half where you thought, do you know what, we could go on and romp this now, then Dundee would come into it, and then in the second half it just didn't seem to go. But Celtic got themselves into a 2-goal lead and you thought, right, that's it. That Hatate chance that hits the post, I think in the stadium everybody felt, right, if that, because when it was missed it felt like a big opportunity. Dundee sort of got up the pitch and scored, and you're like, oh, this is the game it's going to turn it. It's not going to be that 3-0 coasting. It's going to be a 2-1 or struggling towards the end.
Stephen, do you think that's what Brendan Rodgers is trying to coax into the players behind the scenes? You know, just keep the heat, be confident in yourself. You're good players. A lot of you, James Forrest, and we're going to come to him, you are the father of the success of this club.
Yeah.
Which is up there with, I don't know, some of the great quotes of climb the mountain of conflict. To be honest, that was peak Brodgerism, yeah, that wasn't it?
The father of the success of the club. One of the fathers of the recent success of Trophy Da, James Forrest, a brilliant phrase from Brendan Rodgers. And look, I mean, bringing James Forrest back into the fold in this way is part of this, isn't it?
It's trying
to get a little, trying to get a little bit of confidence and a bit of, you know, know-how back about this club. There's the James Forrest thing, which we'll come to. I mean, I think a lot of people, including myself, have been desperately, since James Forrest has come back into the team and started contributing massively, what's that, 4 goals in his last maybe 6 games or something like that, all trying to make sense of it. What does it mean going back? Look, when you look back across the season, he should have been playing this whole time. What does it mean going forward? Is he going to be here next season? Is he still going to... The truth is, it doesn't really make any sense. None of it does.
The season hasn't made sense.
None of it has made any sense whatsoever. The winger situation has been absolutely bizarre. But James Forrest, it doesn't really matter what the narrative we try and force is. The fact is, he's a member of the squad, an experienced member of the squad, a talented, experienced member of the squad, and he's contributing in this handful of games. And that's all that really matters now. We talk about the 3 points being the most important thing. That, to me, is the most important thing about James Forrest, not where he's been all this time and not what it means going forward, not should we have been playing him from the start. It doesn't really matter just now. And of course, when he goes and does a thing like that, everyone kind of tries to make their own sense of it. And it's like, ah, so where are all the James Forrest haters now? No, that's not really the point, because Brendan Rodgers just simply hasn't picked him. And now he has. And we were all asking questions recently about, Yeah, but you said he was the best winger at the club. Where is he then? He went out of the squad entirely for weeks.
Yeah.
That's his first start of a game since November. And he comes in and basically saves our season. So none of it makes any sense. But at this point, who cares really?
I think with Brendan Rodgers, I was in the main stand. So I was sort of behind him. So you could see onto the pitch and you could see his reaction to things. And there was a point in the match where Greg Taylor, Celtic win the ball back, goes from centre half out to Greg Taylor. And all Greg Taylor has to do is turn and play it out to the left wing. But he just passes it back inside. And Rodgers was screaming at him, like, Greg, what are you doing? And Greg was pointing inwards. And Rodgers goes, turn and play it outwards. So I think there's a lot of things where Brendan Rodgers going, the simple things are there to be done, but Celtic just aren't doing them now. And for guys like Callum McGregor and Rio Hatate to be misplacing so many passes,
they or
to be
for it,
caught out too. A lot, it's just, I don't, I'll give the Dundee were good. The pitch was terrible. That's all I can say. Yeah. I can't come up with many more excuses for guys being off the boil so much.
I think the Forest thing is just, for me, it's just good management for the manager, because there would have definitely been a temptation to stick with Palmer, who, to me, the best way of putting it, doesn't look like a quality product,
no.
Lewis Palmer. Or stick with Yang, even though it wasn't working. Brendan obviously sees something in him. He's got faith in him. But he's spotted what, Brendan has spotted what James Forrest can bring to these games in a very particular way for a very particular short period of time. And Brendan's just dropping it in and out of games when it's needed. And it's really, really, really working for us. Like, that is, for me, good management. It's like, Brendan, imagine like a chef. Yeah, so right. Imagine like I made you a nice curry, Steve. You're like, that's really nice. What is it? I was like, I'll put a wee bit of coriander in there. You're like, oh, that's really nice. Then I made you like fajitas. That's really nice. What's in that? I got a wee bit of coriander.
Banana.
No, well, you're about to ruin my joke, aren't you? The idea is you've got to understand when it uses these things. Spare me the cornflakes. Or these cornflakes are disgusting. I put a wee bit of coriander. It doesn't work. Right. So you've got to sprinkle the Sprite and the spices in when it's required to enhance the dish. And that's what Brendan's doing with some James Forrest.
Hampden, good.
Yeah.
Dens Park, good.
Yes.
Ibrox, that's the coriander and the cornflakes.
Right. Maybe. Yeah. There you go. Hey, there you go. That's a good analogy.
I think with James Forrest coming in, it may be... Dyson Maeda going out is a big blow for Celtic, but ahead of him, we've tried Palmer, we've tried Yang. God forbid we tried Mikey Johnson for a long time as well. I think maybe having James Forrest just ahead of them, that sort of calm head that's been there, a guy who knows what he's doing defensively as well, has helped Celtic out in that left-hand side, because most of Forrest's best football has been played from the right-hand side. He's playing over on the left-hand side now, and maybe we just needed that, somebody that can put their foot on the ball and make the simple passes. I've been a big critic of James Forrest in the past, but he doesn't lose the ball too much, and maybe that's just what Celtic need right now. Somebody just alongside Cal McGregor, alongside Joe Hart, Carter Vickers, just guys that, look, just give it to him and it'll be alright for a wee bit, because we've seen with Yang and he's no got it for that sort of thing. We've seen with Palmer when he came on taking a pot shot from 25 yards when Celtic have got the ball in the last couple of minutes. Like, Brendan Arwan, Brendan Rodgers wasn't happy with it. So you need these guys at these moments sometimes. And for all Forrest faults, he's came in and he's done the job. Well, his all-round play wasn't brilliant, but he's done his job perfectly.
That's what being distance and course and having done it before looks like. When you're talking about experience, that's just another way of saying he's been through it. It's another way of saying he knows what Celtic's all about. Because as you say, James Forrest knows, for example, when you're 2-1 up, away to Dens Park with four games to go and you've got the ball, what you don't do is take a pot shot for 25 yards. What you do is look after it. James Forrest knows when you're getting attacked, you can't afford to sit back and go, one of the defenders will take it. He'll look and go, nah, actually better get Mars back there and do what I can to help out. And it's these wee differences. And sometimes it's having, do you think there's an element of the pressure's off with Forrest? He's won it all. He's proved his point. He was half out. And he's just saying, right, James, you come in and you do what you're good at, and I'll Brendan Rodgers will back you doing it.
Yeah, and I know we've been guilty of saying it as well. Possibly even me. I can't specifically remember, but I've started having a bit of a problem with the idea that we're relying on James Forrest at this stage of the season. I think that's maybe it's maybe the wrong language to use, because relying's the wrong word. It might be the case that he's only playing because others have disappointed. I think there's probably a strong case for that. Not the only reason, but it's a strong reason. If Palmer was any kind of Brendan Rodgers player, he would probably be chosen, as we've discussed many times. But James Forrest, he is the guy who did the job at the time. if you look back across various games this season, Mikey Johnson scored a double against, was that against Dundee as well?
Yeah.
Actually, but we weren't relying on Mikey Johnson at the time. He was just the guy who turned up and did the job on the day. James Forrest is the guy for now. And that's what I'm kind of getting at when I say it doesn't really matter what has happened the rest of the season. These are the guys who are turning up and doing it just now. And it's no coincidence that it's the guys who have turned up in the past before that James Forrest has, as you say, the pressure's not, I mean, I know what you mean. It's not like the pressure's off. It's not like he's out there just having a jolly. It's that everyone has effectively kind of written James, not everyone, but you know what I mean? To varying degrees, people have kind of moved past James Forrest because of all the things we've already spoken about, how he's been out of the team for ages. And he comes in and shows you just how good a player he actually is. That goal, that first goal was one of the best goals he scored in his career, genuinely. Of the 106 or whatever it is now, that finish was one of the best goals I've seen James Forrest score.
It's two good finishes for James Forrest, yeah. which is, he's not really known for his absolutely superb finishing.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's always been a better finisher than, I mean, let's the rest of the wingers we've got. He's the best finisher of anyone. Abada was a good goal scorer, but he's gone now. Mm. But James Forrest is a far better finisher than any of the rest of them, including Maida and Palmer.
Well,
and
all yes.
That. And I can understand why Brendan Rodgers doesn't really fancy Palmer, and that shot he took, that wild shot, he does that quite a lot. Yeah. And I understand why a possession-based coach, or really effectively any modern coach, isn't going to want a player doing that. It's such a completely wasted thing. No manager wants players shooting from 25 yards. On occasion,
Francis Lennon.
Fans absolutely love it. Fans absolutely love it when you ping one into the top corner. David Turnbull was quite good at it as well. But in the main, in modern football, it is seen as very much a low percentage opportunity to be shooting from there. And you're right, James Forrest just doesn't do that. He shoots from a decent distance, but he's such a better finisher, and he's a much more technically gifted than any of these players. And I can understand why Brendan Rodgers just doesn't fancy Palmer. I saw James Forrest today. I saw him in a cafe local.
On National Hunscalping Day.
Yes, yes. Well. Yeah. So I saw him. He was out having brunch with his brother, and I was just standing there waiting for I was getting a takeaway coffee, and I just noticed this. The Forrest over there.
Ahead of the game.
Yeah, I called Alan a diet rat. But I saw them over there, and I don't like to bother people, but as I was heading out the door, I kind of gave James. Yeah.
Recognize me?
Yeah, we know you watch, but I was going out the door and I did say, here, that was brilliant yesterday, mate. Cheers for that, nice one. And you know that way, if you're out in a restaurant, the waiting staff come over and ask you how the meal is, how you're getting on with it, and they've got an uncanny knack of asking you just as you're putting something in your mouth. So you go, well, that was brilliant, cheers. I did that to James Forrest. So I apologise. I went, brilliant yesterday, James, cheers. Just gave me the thumbs up of a man who was stuffing his face at the time.
He doesn't like the limelight. He's got no social media, as Charlie Mulgrew said in his features so many times.
His book mentions that a number of
times.
Chapter one, I can confirm that he
does
mention.
Did I buy you that for Christmas there?
No, that was 2022, I believe.
You're still no finished that. Brendan Rodgers has shown, though, that he's... How do I articulate this? I was going to say he's an active manager, Melly, but that's a bit silly. But he's not afraid to drop players if they need dropped. With the amount of players that we've seen coming and out of the team, and he's bringing guys. I mean, Iwata looked out of the picture for the longest time, comes into the squad when he's needed. Palmer, Yang, really both been dropped. He was quite happy to let Mikey Johnson get out of the club. He didn't really have much of a say in the Abada thing, right enough. But I think the utilising of James Forrest is good management. I think there's a lot to be said for, right, this guy isn't working. Right, okay. Palmer's not working. Right, what have I got? Well, next option's James Forrest. Right, well, you can't really run that far, and you can't play 90 minutes, and you can't really beat a man. But how can I use what you bring? How can I use the skills that you've got available to you to get the best out of you and get the best out of the team and performing? And that's, I think, what we're seeing. And he's kind of reminding me of the same way that Ange used Aaron Moy for those couple of months, you know, just relying on the pure experience. And I'd said to Stephen on one of our Patreon live build-ups, if James Forrest had done like 3 or 4 years at Celtic and then went to Blackpool, or not Blackpool, they're terrible. If he went to like a Bournemouth or a West Brom or a Fulham, and then we signed him in the summer there as a 33-year-old experienced winger, this is kind of what you'd be expecting. It's the sort of Aaron Moy of today.
Yeah, you'd maybe want a bit more, but I think you're right. I think with
what we got, what did we get out of Aaron Moy? 8 weeks.
Aye, basically. Post Christmas, post World Cup, he was excellent.
Yeah, he was good. It was good from the turn of the year, sort of just before that. I think it's somebody else, another option, wasn't it? Because we had O'Reilly, Hatate, McGregor, all good options, and you had that fourth guy that you thought, if he starts, it's fine. If he comes off the bench, it's fine. And that's what we're kind of getting with James Forrest now. But we should be maybe getting a bit more. But I can't really sit here and go, he should have been playing more, because really, should he? Did they do anything previously to say, I should be playing? Whereas the last few weeks, it's been, do you know what, see if James Forrest starts this weekend. I said it last week, I think he deserves to start. So he's worked his way back into the squad, and Brendan Rodgers has played it well. And I think out all the players this season, I don't think there's anybody can sit come the end of the season and go, I didn't get a chance. I think everybody did. And I think with Brendan Rodgers, he's given James Forrest games, and in those games, he's given him what he's needed. So he plays him. It's like you say with Awata, he done what he asked him to do, and now he's getting game time for it. A lot of players have came in and not taken their chance. James Forrest has came back in, taking his chance, and we see what we can get.
We're in a different phase of the season now, though, aren't we, Stephen? Like, you can understand maybe Brendan Rodgers, when he first came into Celtic, he probably had a game plan of how he wanted Celtic to play, and it was like, I don't know, pace, power, all this sort of stuff that we heard. But whatever it was and whatever it looked like, he's trying to build it, and you see him going through the likes of, like, Turnbull, Holm, all these guys that have came in and then went out. That's that phase of the season where you're maybe trying to build something. Now I think what we've entered is a get through the last four games phase of the season. And there's room for a James Forrest here in this sort of phase. Not
trust in it?
Yeah, not at the beginning of the season when you're trying to build something. You're trying to build a new team and a certain image that plays a certain way, and players need to do what you need them to do. But now, that's kind of shelved for the time being, and it's about getting through games.
Well, is Brendan Rodgers now in Mike Tyson quote, everyone's got a game plan until they get punched in the face material? Is it we turned up to this season and think we're going to steamroll all in front of us, and then lost points to Kilmarnock and Hearts multiple times. That was us being punched in the face, and now we're sort of lurching towards hoping to get the win over the line.
Well, that's a kind of negative. It's the same thing. It's a negative slant, but I suppose what the thing is, he's like, right, I got this far. Forget that. Let's see what we can get through. But I know what you're saying. You're right in what you're saying. Like, we suffered the hits going through the season, and now we've got here. It's like, do you want to keep doing what you were doing, or do you want to try? Do you want to try something else?
It's just boxing smart now, isn't it?
Yeah. So I suppose
back it could to be boxing
worse.
Again.
Yeah, it could be worse. We could be lying on the ground kicking upwards in a boxing fight. I don't think that's against the rules, but we're not quite at that stage yet. But I was when you were talking about James Forrest there and the utilisation of him from Brendan Rodgers. Does Brendan Rodgers deserve credit for, well, it might just be by default because we've got Kuhn, who is, again, flattened to deceive a little bit, but he has been effective. He scored a big goal in the semi-final, of course, and he has looked all right. But he's now on the left for us, and does that suit him now? Does that suit him? Because when he plays on the right, we all expect that James Forrest of old to be basically head down and bust a pace past defenders and get to the byline and cross it. That's not available to us from the start. So we spoke last week about how you can maybe get 65 minutes of a largely disappointing, maybe slightly flattering to deceive James Forrest, or it can give you 18 to 22 minutes of absolutely pure James Forrest towards the end. If we're getting him from the start, does it suit him to be on the left when there's less onus on him to be hitting the byline? He can be a bit more measured, a bit more controlled. He can drift into those positions that he scored from. Is this suiting him?
I definitely think it is, to help out Scales and Taylor because that left-hand side has been poor, and we've seen as soon as Maeda comes out, the team, Celtic are found wanting there. So I think
James, no Iwata either from the start.
I think James Forrest coming in is just that calm head in there. It's just like, just give me the ball, I'll hold on to it for a couple of seconds and I'll try and make things happen. And even his goal against Aberdeen, cutting in from there, it's not usually what we've seen from him, but I think you're right, it just suits right now for Celtic to have James Forrest in the team.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Cool fact, A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I think we need a big old chat at the end of the season about several things. I think we'll get through it. At the end of the season, we'll have a big old sit down with Celtic and we'll say, look, some things need to change.
What was that all about? Never do that again.
What was that shit? I think we're going to have the talk. But I think the wingers, Stephen, is you're now looking at it going, you could let them all go. Apart from Dyson. Even if someone came in and offered us our money back for Kuhn, I'd consider taking that as well.
It's been farcical, the winger situation this season. We've signed so many of them, basically let Jota go, or sold Jota for a lot of money, and then brought in three, adding up to about nine that we've had all season, and none of them have made the impact that James Forrest has in the last handful of games, which is a sad state of affairs. But again, we just need to deal with that now and push forward. There's no sense in looking back to it, but you're right, it is a situation that's going to need addressed going forward, because we're looking at like Abada, Johnston, Tilio, Yang, Maeda, Forrest, Haksabanovic.
Jesus.
So what does that say to you about wingers? People like them, let's buy some more of them.
It says to me that the ones that spend too much time communicating via social media, like Mikey Johnson, like Haksabanovic, like Odin Thiago Holm, like Palmer, they don't get into Brendan Rodgers' team.
I mentioned Palmer.
They don't get into a Brendan Rodgers team. The pattern I've noticed is...
And James Forrest doesn't have social media.
If you do your talking on social media, you don't get into Brendan Rodgers' Celtic team. That's what I do.
Yeah, I think so. And a final thing on James Forrest, there's been a lot of talk now that he's back in the limelight and grabbing the headlines by basically rescuing Celtic there. There's no getting away from it. That's twice in the last couple of weeks that he's bailed Celtic out massively. A lot of the talk is about how he's about to become or even kind of draw level with Bobby Lennox as Celtic's most decorated ever player and all that. And I found myself thinking over the last couple of seasons when he's been a bit part player, not starting as many games, and I think he's only started a handful of games in both of the last couple of seasons, I found myself responding to that chat about him being the most decorated player at Celtic with stuff like, does he want this though? Because how much is he actually contributing to this? Through no fault of his own, he is now sitting back and watching Celtic win trophies that are being credited to him as being the most decorated player. And I thought, it's not really a great position for a still relatively young guy to be in. Yeah. But look, see if he contributes, see if he is in any way the deciding factor in the trophies that are yet to come for Celtic, then build a statue, genuinely.
Honestly, there's a lot to be said for James Forrest though at this point in time. Like, this is no revisionism. Like, everybody that knows that I'm not James Forrest's biggest fan as a player. I think he peaked, and then he maybe just, even by his own admission, probably didn't contribute as much as he did. Then the problem is you get spoiled with players like Jota and other guys come in, you think he's much better. But see, for James Forrest to go this entire season sharp, fit, doing what the manager asks, at the point where in April, with 4 games or 5 games to go, the manager goes, right, I need you in. And he's like, right, no bother, I'm ready to go. Like, it's a difficult thing for players to do. I'm absolutely certain that there's a lot of players, and there have been players at this club who are no longer here, and other players that can't be relied upon that are not ready. Players like Palmer, for talking sake, who has featured throughout the season, can't be trusted. Whereas Brendan Rodgers can go to James Forrest, has barely kicked a ball. James, I've got six games to go and I actually need you to come and help. Oh, can he run? Well, what you can do is you can clip in crosses.
Yeah.
You can make tiny wee runs. You can keep the ball. Let's go and do that. We'll see what we can get out of you.
Yeah, I think
Forrest, he deserves a lot of credit, is the point I'm making.
Yeah, I think he turns 33 this summer. So by the time his contract finishes next season, he'll be turning 34. So I think, like, he might call it a day then. And it's getting to the point where I'm like, you know what? Keep him about for next season, because see if Celtic are going to be in this constant state of bringing in young players. Well, the best thing young players can do is look at James Forrest and go, how are you still playing at this level at this age? Because it's remarkable that he's at this level for a guy that's been injured that much. He's obviously good on the training pitch because every manager raves about him, and he just keeps going. He keeps being there and he pops up with goals all of a sudden. So I think keep him about for next season. It's all about, I spoke to Stephen about it a lot, about the coaching. Yes, the coaching convention recently.
Seems to be, this is a running theme. This seems to be coming up quite a lot.
You should see our group chat with you. And, it was all about the culture at Celtic. And if you're going to have a culture where Celtic have got guys like Cal McGregor and James Forrest telling young players what to do, that's what you need. But I think Stephen's right. James Forrest statue and just James Forrest. Fancy it underneath.
Imagine the statue, right? Of course, like Celtic have got many statues around the stadium. The Celtic Way's got loads of statues of key figures. But the defining factor of these statues is that even if they didn't have the names on it, even if you couldn't see the face, you think, right, aye, that's Billy McNeil. You see the Jimmy Johnson thing and he's like changing direction, you think, yes, that's Jimmy Johnson. Imagine the James Forrest one. It would be like the Angel of the North, but with James Forrest's head on it.
It would be, remember James Corden made that David Beckham statue? It would be just that.
I'd just borrow that
and see if they've still got it and just stick had James Forrest's nameplate underneath it. Is stablemate, is classmate, is a fellow youth product, Callum McGregor, sort of toiled in that game a wee bit, didn't he?
Yeah.
You think we're rushing him back?
Well, I started saying earlier that he and Hatate, I mean, the way that it was like we'd put two complete novices into the midfield at the same time. And I know the pitch will have played a massive part in that. It was a strange pitch. It looked as if it was throwing stuff up, so it wasn't quite water. I don't know if it was like sand or whatever. There seemed to be patches of the pitch where, from a distance, it looked okay, but then you see the ball rolling across it and it's kicking stuff up behind it. So the surface will have played a part, but there was several sequences of play where McGregor and Hatate were playing height, like hip height passes to each other. It was almost as if they were getting revenge for each other. Oh, cheers, have that as well. Like just playing it off each other's shoulders. It was really, it was quite bizarre to see. But Hatate has always got a little bit of that in him, a little bit erratic with his passing, but you put up with it because, even in the Dundee game, some of the passing is absolutely brilliant. But McGregor, the longer the weeks go on now, the further we get away from that game at Ibrox where he was apparently like touch and go to take any part in it and he didn't play from the start. The further we get away from that and he still doesn't look fit makes me question his inclusion in a lot of these games.
It's a strange one, isn't it? Because you don't usually build up players' fitness by giving them 20 minutes in a game, then 40, then 60, at this crucial time of the season. You think to yourself, well, Awata's been fine, so could Awata not start these games? And then you sort of give Cal McGregor the minutes on the reverse rather than risking the tie to play. I know, look, this is hindsight.
Well, yeah.
You know, Brendan Rodgers is no sitting looking at Cal McGregor going, you're a risk. He's not thinking that, but now in hindsight, it's easy for us once again.
Well, I know I get it all with Callum McGregor. I've made the points myself where I've said, look, he's got to play, he's a leader, he's the captain, he's the most important player, he's at the heart of everything good that Celtic do, Callum McGregor. But I'm looking at these performances and thinking, yeah, but with that said, he is a little bit, well, he's a big bit off it, to be honest. He cost us at Ibrox, and it's rare I would say that about Callum McGregor. That pass across the midfield, a blind pass across the midfield that let them in, was criminal
so
from
unlike him.
Yeah, very, very unlike him. And he hasn't looked up to his own, you know, very high standards, admittedly, in recent weeks. So I'm hoping that we can get that behind him and get him fully fit, because, again, I get it. I get that he will be absolutely choking to play these games. There's no way he's going to be willingly sitting back and being a passenger in a Celtic tight title race. There's no way as a captain he's going to want to do that. But I felt at times against Dundee, we had no midfield. We basically didn't have a midfield, and it stayed that way until Iwata came on and got a little bit of control of it. So it's not an outright condemnation of Callum McGregor, and he must be dropped and never want to see him again. I have been a little bit alarmed by his performances recently.
My thing is, I'm just worried that we're rushing him back, because I know we will need him for Hearts and we will need him for Rangers now. I don't know that much about sports science, admittedly, but maybe the reverse is what the manager's trying to do. Is we, manager's like, we need to get him up to speed for Hearts, and we need to get him up to speed for Rangers coming. So the best way to do that is to get as many minutes in the legs as we can, Melly.
Yeah, I don't think Cal McGregor coming on for 20 minutes at the end is going to get him to where he wants to be. And I think it's again that you're in this title race, you sort of look to Cal McGregor to be the calm head in there, that the guy that will take the ball under pressure and will give you the easy passes just so Celtic can get out of play. But right now he's not doing that. But at the same time, I think our Celtic, would they be better without him in the team? I don't know, to be honest. I don't think they would. Awata did come on and look solid, but Awata for me looks better coming off the bench rather than starting. So right now I think it is about getting Cal McGregor, trying to get him through these games up to the Hearts and Rangers game. It's just about managing it right now for me, getting him in there. I can give him the same that I'll give the rest. Look, the pitch was terrible. Dundee are a decent team, but positionally he wasn't great. He wasn't picking up the second balls and simply his passing wasn't good. But for me, I'd still stick with Cal McGregor for next week going into the Hearts game. If we can get that one, then the next following week's the big one. And then I don't see him playing at Kilmarnock, but that's too far ahead to think about.
I kind of love this blasé attitude that some people are taking, Stephen, to the next couple of games. Win two games about the titles yeah. ours. I'm like, aye, but the next two games are against Hearts, yep. who we've really struggled against yes. this season, and Rangers, which is a big game in any of these books. So we've got Hearts coming up, and then we've got maybe the biggest Glasgow derby of all time. Slight of an exaggeration there, maybe.
Of all time.
But most importantly, the Hearts game has the potential to be a real powder keg. We owe them one. We owe them two. We've struggled against Hearts.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know if we can have John Beaton in as the referee again. Has he refereed two of the last three Celtic yeah. games or something like that?
Oh, stick him in VAR. He enjoyed that the last time against Hearts, didn't he?
Oh, aye, of course. Yeah. And then he was the VAR on the Hearts one. I mean, absolutely amazing. That it's going to be a really, really tough tie.
Oh, no doubt about it. We can only go on past evidence just of this season. And if it comes to, look, again, goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway, an absolute must win, because the goal is clear. The trophy is right there in front of us. Just need to go and grab it. Need to go and win two games to have basically at least one hand on it. So it's clear what Celtic need to do. But if we end up in the reality post that game where we have dropped points or even been beaten by Hearts three times in a single season, switch it all off, they get all together,
they cause a remarkable amount of bother this season for a team who are 18 points behind us.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I know. And I saw all that talk about either side of the semi-final about how terrible a record they've got against Rangers. And people were saying, oh, but Aberdeen always lose to Celtic. They were relegation ordered about 6 weeks ago or whatever. Hearts are supposed to be the third best team in the country and they can only beat Celtic, it seems. But we cannot even contemplate. It's unthinkable to me that we could lose to Hearts three times in a season. That's absolutely wild stuff. So we owe them not only one, but two. But that doesn't matter just now. It's not about getting revenge for those. That would be nice. The ultimate goal is exactly the same as that. We just need to beat them because it's the titles in the balance.
They've won two of the last six Hearts in all competitions, but they are a bit of a bogey team for us this season.
Yeah, the home game in, was it December, was the sort of nadir of this season, wasn't
that
it?
That was the lowest, wasn't it?
I said after that I couldn't remember having physically been to a worse game in my life, genuinely, because I wasn't at any of the COVID ones, clearly, but I don't remember having been to a worse Celtic performance in my life than that one. Terrible.
Yeah, never looked like scoring at all, and just bringing on Mikey Johnson and I think Burnaby, did he come on at left wing or something like that? So it was terrible.
Is that when Brenda said he'd never been angrier?
That was a while before. But I think the away game, we'll never know how it panned out with Ida missing the penalty and Yin Yang getting sent off. So it was a dodgy one, but it's a chance for Celtic to put on a bit of pressure here. They could go 6 points ahead before Rangers play the next day. So they have to take that chance. They have to go into this game, beat Hearts. And again, it doesn't need to be the best performance, but we need to play a bit better than we did against Dundee to get anything out of this game. I think Dundee are a decent team, but Hearts should be better. The form's not been good, but the form book goes out the window somehow for Hearts when it comes to these games, doesn't it? Celtic have to go out and do their job. If we've got Dyson Maeda back, it'll be a bit of a boost as well. I think Celtic's injury worries have eased recently, mm-hmm. and we've got players on the bench who can make a difference for us finally. So I think it's all geared towards this. So can he be looking beyond this game, all geared towards beating Hearts?
Do you think the selection for Stephen Yick is straightforward, or do you think the manager's got a bit of thinking to do? I'm looking at positions like, you know, depending on how fit Cal McGregor is, do you play him again, even though we might get a rerun of what we saw against Dundee, or do you just stick with Ida, who's that wee bit sharper, and maybe not Callum's return on for a week?
Ida?
Sorry, I meant Iwata.
Oh, yeah.
Ida's my next topic of conversation, because again, I like Ida. I think he's busy. Kyogo's not looked that sharp.
No.
So is there a question for Ida starting? Then obviously, Brendan said midweek at a sort of fans Q&A that we weren't at, but it was now subsequently reported all over social media.
Voice notes forwarded many times.
Yep, forwarded many times. We didn't record it secretly this time.
No. a real callback, that one.
Aye, a real callback.
The real heads will remember that one.
Wow. The real heads will have listened to the podcast at the time.
Yeah, the 10 minutes it was available. Yeah.
So the Dyson Maeda might return, and there was a bit of a sort of conversation about how his return's been accelerated that was brought up with that fans Q&A, and later subsequently proven or confirmed rather by Brendan at his press conference. But I think there's some questions there about who starts, and I would be inclined to go with Adam Maeda. I would be, despite everything I've just said, I think if the manager deems McGregor is fit enough to start, then you probably have to start him if McGregor says he's fit. And barring any super medical returns, I think we're probably going to see James Forrest.
Without a doubt. I don't think there's any reason to not play James Forrest unless it just transpires that he doesn't fancy him from the start, and for whatever reason in this game. I'll be very concerned if that happens, because that does mean it's either Yang or Palmer, and I just...
Give Yang another goal?
That will maybe be slightly early, because if he's...
I think so.
...ruled it for effectively for the season, then he impresses with his, you know, medical recovery potentially. I don't know if you throw them straight in from the start.
Bench would probably be the best option, wouldn't it?
Aye. So I think it's definitely James Forrest. The questions for me would be, I don't think there will be a single change. I think it will be that midfield.
Yeah.
But with how it performed against Dundee, you would maybe think, well, does Iwata deserve to start, as you kind of alluded to? Bernardo didn't even get off the bench, which I was surprised at, because the midfield was badly malfunctioning out there.
How do you feel? I think we've been up and down on Bernardo this season, right? But I think ultimately he's not actually a bad player.
No.
I think he's... It's the money that kind of puts me off Bernardo a wee bit. But if he was a £3.5-4 million player, I would have no problem with Bernardo being a Celtic player.
Well, he falls into the same camp as Ida for me, really, with a less eye-catching performances, because Ida's getting goals in there. But how I would like him to Ida is that he's like guaranteed a certain level. If you get Bernardo, is he going to push us on to the next level? Probably not. Is he going to maintain the level of the squad where you make changes elsewhere if we come to the reality of losing guys like O'Reilly, potentially, Hatate, if he potentially moves on at some point? Does Bernardo keep us at a certain level in midfield? Yes. And for £3 or 4 million, we need to be realistic. What does that get you in this day and age? So I don't know. It's a discussion for later with Bernardo, but I think he's proven himself to be a fairly solid banker.
Very useful mammal.
Yeah, yes, a very useful mammal indeed. It's a good way of putting it. Ida, was very unfortunate against Dundee. The goal went in comical fashion. Yep. I don't know if it's technically an own goal or just a deflection. I wouldn't blame him for that, because anyone can stick a leg out and it goes off you and into the net. Far better defenders than Adam Maeda have had that happen to them. I mean, we're all ruined the absence of Starfelt. But was that not basically his last action in a Celtic shirt? Was that a ball went in off him and kind of looked over Joe Hart? I can't remember. But that can happen to anyone. But my problem with that is I don't know what he was doing. He didn't know what he was doing. See, when you watch that goal back,
he was all at sea, wasn't he?
Yeah, so the defensive line has already pushed out. It's the usual, like, a second phase of play. Everything's like, out. He does just stand in there, basically on the goal line. He sticks a foot out and diverts it past Joe Hart. So it was a bit naive of him. But to start him up top against Hearts, I don't know. I'm inclined to keep with Kyogo because I have a huge amount of confidence in that he can get goals against the kind of better teams in this league, and Hearts are definitely one of that. But even if we're talking about players from the start, like Hatate, O'Reilly, Kyogo, Cal McGregor, that doesn't mean to say that other players won't have their impacts on this game. Yeah. So I reckon Ida will definitely play a part in pretty much every game between now and the end of the season. Whether they start or not, I'm not really bothered about, because we do need to use these players. We're playing like 110 minutes in some of these games. We're close to it. It feels like, well, that's VAR stuff. But I'm not really bothered who starts. I think they will both be incredibly useful between now and the end of the season.
You think, McMillan, you nervous about the game?
Not right now, but I will be come kickoff. I think it's going to be like that for every game. I think for me, I'd go with the same team that started at the weekend. Yeah. And then if Dyson made, I can make the bench. It gives you another option on there. So I think Celtic are looking strong. Can't really have any complaints if they get Maida back. Everybody's available, ready to go. So it's just about managing these games. And like Stephen says, whether you start Ida, Iwata, that I think bringing them on can have just as a big an impact as them starting. So I think Celtic, just please get the job done, man.
No more losses to Stephen Naismith's heart.
No, we cannot do it. What would that be, three in the season?
Three in a season. Unthinkable, as I said earlier. You can't even contemplate that.
You need to put a lid on this.
Yeah, just in that Q&A, I think Brendan Rodgers mentioned about, like, if Ademida scores a couple of more goals for Celtic, or even crucial goals, even if he doesn't score any more goals, I think he's done enough to earn himself a move. And there's a few tasty things he spoke about in that wee Q&A, wasn't there?
Now you've changed your tune on Adam. I love it. Absolutely delicious. I think he mentioned, well, he says Palmer, the situation will need to be looked at. I think he commented on Mikey Johnson. This is all rumour, by the way. We weren't there, but this is what's doing the rounds. I think there's a comment on maybe Mikey Johnson finding the Celtic shirt a bit too heavy. I've always wondered what that meant. Is it just a polite way of saying he's not very good, or he's not quite good enough? Navrotsky brought in as third choice behind Carter Vickers and Starfelt, apparently, but they just kind of get him fit. They kind of get him up to speed. A player that's interesting to me, though, you mentioned him, was Matt O'Reilly, nominated for Player of the Year. Beside, I've got a list here. Lauren Shankland, which you'd probably expect.
Going to win it, isn't it?
James Tavernier, who, you know, the less said about him, the better. And the hype machine that is Jack Butland. See that Jack Butland, right? See, ever since he arrived at Rangers, he's one of these players, and you only ever get it with Rangers players, I find, that as soon as they arrive, everyone in the Scottish press just accepts he's amazing.
Yeah.
Until proven otherwise, you need to have like an absolute disaster of a season for them to go, oh, he didn't really work out. For me, Jack Butland's, he's no better than Joe Hart. He's done nothing in these games to prove to me he's any better than Joe Hart. Certainly in the games I've watched them. But all of a sudden, as soon as he arrives, and then before you know it, he's nominated for Player of the Year. So we've got three Rangers players and Matt O'Reilly. And I think, to be honest, if it was done properly, in terms of a player of absolute quality, it's very difficult in this league to look past Matt O'Reilly. The guy was likely a move to Atletico Madrid in January, didn't he? If that's not the seal of approval, I don't know what is.
It's been up and down, though, hasn't it? I don't know if... Have there really been any true Celtic standouts across the entire season where you would think, yeah, of course, Matt O'Reilly has the highest ceiling of anyone involved in that. But Lauren Shankland's getting nearly 30 goals or something like that for Hearts, even though he's... doesn't look the greatest of Nick these days. Tavernier and Butland, token entries.
Well, Ross McCausland's the young player. He's played about four games.
Again, I've not got really many complaints about this, because even this thing at the Hydro, Celtic's nominations themselves for the Young Player of the Year are absolutely desperate stuff.
Yes.
It's like Yang and Palmer. 24-year-old Lewis Palmer is nominated for Young Player of the Year at Celtic.
It's a bit, I wonder how Palmer would feel having won Young Player of the Year. I wonder if he thinks it actually means anything, you know?
Give it to Daniel Kelly. Remember Josh Thompson won it because he played about eight games one season? Just give it to Daniel Kelly.
The award everyone wants is the 20 Minute Times Player of the Year award, which we hand out, obviously, at the end of the season. We'll be handing that one. But as far as Player of the Year, Melly, for the league, out of those four, I know we're a Celtic podcast, you're always going to pick Matt O'Reilly, but I just think in terms of absolute quality of footballer, Matt O'Reilly exists on a different plane from Lauren Shankland.
Yeah.
Aye. That's not really what it's about. It's about the
The
guy who's been the best player. I think Shankland, you think, fair enough. I think it's a shootout between O'Reilly and Shankland for me. I think, is this the players' player of the year, or is this the...
PFA,
So it'll depend who do you hate going up against more, or who's impressed you more when you've been playing against them. So people have had different spells of Matt O'Reilly and Lawrence Shankland, so I think it'll be a straight shootout between the two, and I hope Matty Boy wins.
A bit of extra spice for the game on Saturday. Listen, We are going to be there. We're going to be at every game. There's four more home games for the rest of the season, isn't there?
Three.
Three home games, one away game. Obviously, we are going to be at every single one of those. You can support us on patreon.com/20minutetims for extra podcasts, extra videos, extra writing, and extra goodies. patreon.com/20minutetims. Thank you so much to everyone who watches us on YouTube, listens to us on the podcast, and subscribes on Patreon. We'll be back next week.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.